Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
About to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back at the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCTOR-DAHLI, 1-877-DOCTOR-DALI. We definitely have, you know, news that we need to kind of share with you. Can I just say I knew Gronkowski was going to be coming back, but I didn't know that he was going to be going to the Bucks. So I know that's not coronavirus news, but wow. So Brady gets his Gronk. And they're kind of a good combo, so that's going to be kind of interesting. So I just need football to come back. I need football. Okay, you know, I don't mind, you know, being at home on lockdown as long as I can have my football. I'm getting really sick of Netflix. All right, so here we go. Total coronavirus cases worldwide, 2.5 million, 180,000 deaths, still tragically way too high. USA in the lead with 820,000 cases, so we're testing more, obviously. 46,000 deaths. Spain coming in next with 238,000 cases. Then Italy, 183,000 cases. France, 168,000 cases. Germany, 149,000 cases. However, in terms of the death toll, Spain, Italy, France, and UK, as well as America, taking the top five. In terms of curves, many of the states are saying that the curves are starting to level out. We talked about what that flattening of the curve means. Flattening of the curve does not necessarily mean the curve is going back down. What it means is when the curve, basically when you have your x-axis and y-axis, you guys remember like graphs, right, in school? X is time. Y is like the number of things that could be happening. Let's say you can make a graph on anything, you know, right? You know, days since you've had sex, right? Yeah, whatever. So, which, by the way, we need to talk about. A lot of people are not having sex, not being able to do their Tinder hookup. So we need to kind of talk about alternatives. Didn't realize that was going to be a topic, but apparently that's a big concern of many people. So going back to in terms of coronavirus cases, okay, as the days progress, did we have like a upward shooting from 5 to 200 to 1,000, you know, but if we go from 200 to 202 to 204, yeah, it's still rising, but rather than the curve being straight up, it's starting to curve, and it's starting to flatten, hence flattening of the curve. What we want is a downward slope of the curve. So some of you were kind of questioning why a lot of states aren't reopening. Well, because, you know, a lot of the guidelines set forward by the U.S. government, which is understandable, is we need like a downward sloping. So as the days progress, rather than there being, let's say we're looking at death rate, okay? So let's say the number of deaths are rising. If the number of deaths are dropping, we'll see that. If we're looking at total number of cases, we're not really going to see the curve go down because if the caseload is being counted, it's just being counted. But if we see it flatten, that means there's no new cases. So I know it's math. I know a lot of you guys don't like math. Sorry if I didn't explain it the best way I could. So we've had some kind of news coming in the last 24 hours in terms of CDC Director Redfield warns that the second coronavirus wave is going to be, quote, more difficult and is going to hit the same time as flu. Well, we know that's been coming, but what's kind of different about this time around is they're saying it's not going to be a milder version or it's not going to be the same. They think this is going to be nastier. Now, why? Well, because we also heard in the last 24 hours that there has been over 30 different strains identified with this virus. Some people might be getting the easy strain, which is why they're having a little bit of a you have others where they're just completely getting consumed. Also in the news, we're hearing that a very strange side effect that might be happening to people with coronavirus is they may be more coagulable, have a hypercoagulable state where they may be more prone to clotting. We're going to talk about some of those unfortunate consequences that we're seeing where some of the hospital workers are like, wait a second. I mean, they're actually clotting up their tubing. So that could explain why some people are also dying when they get coronavirus if they're not dying from the respiratory issues. We're also being told that the first coronavirus death was not in Washington. The first coronavirus deaths were possibly in California, I think Santa Clarita Valley. They say two Californians died of coronavirus weeks before the previously known first U.S. death. So we're going to talk about how they deduced those. That would be in Northern California. So, you know, as we kind of go through this today, and yes, we are going to take your calls, your questions, your comments. We still have people on the answer line. Don't worry, we're going to get to you. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. One other piece of news we have also is we're being told that the vaccine that they may come up with, that we are hoping they come up with soon, whether it's going to be early fall or next year, may not be suitable for all ages, which means only some people might be able to get the vaccine. So the moral to all this is we're learning. We're learning a lot. We're getting pieces of information. Also, the moral is I don't think we're, you know, at any better place today than we were yesterday in terms of knowing what the hell is going on and where we're going to go with this. If I can make any suggestion, because I don't like to just sit here and complain. I like to offer solutions. Is if I was Washington or any of these state governors, I would hire somebody, not like a PR firm, but somebody who acts like a PR firm to start figuring out the questions that need to be answered and figure out ways to get those questions answered and then figure out how to give that information to the public. I think now that we're in the end of April, I think it is high time we get a little better idea of the death toll and why we're being told that many more Californians had it than we're led to believe. But I'm also being told, we had a caller call in saying somebody was in a car accident, was also positive for coronavirus, and that coronavirus was on the death certificate. And that's on the death toll. If I was, and I love PR. PR is kind of a little knack of mine. I think the public population. I know in Nevada, we need somebody with PR giving us the answers we want. There's a lot of things we want answered right now. And, you know, in terms of how virulent this virus is, what the different strains mean, what does all this mean, how did they figure this out? I understand it's a lot of information. Right now we're getting all this crap load of information from this source and this source and this source, hydroxychloroquine. Now we're being told that the hydroxychloroquine did not work in a VA study. So what? Is it that it works on some people and it doesn't work on others? Let's find that out. If for some people it works, let's figure out which class of genetics does the hydroxychloroquine treatment work better for? 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications and Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel for working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So we had a lot of high hopes for hydroxychloroquine, and I still think we can. Because there have been studies showing promising results with the malaria drug. However, the latest study showed no benefit of its use at U.S. veterans' hospitals. Now, hydroxychloroquine has obviously garnered global attention. President Trump had, when he received news that it could help, he brought it up at a news conference, and I'm glad he did. You know, people have been making fun of him, just like people make fun of de Blasio. People are making fun of everybody. And again, you know, people get political, and I understand, you know, they're mad and they're, you know, but And, but, you know, he was given that information that hydroxychloroquine could work. There were studies saying, in fact, there was a study up last week that even said, look, you know, we're seeing that this could work. Unfortunately, though, this latest study, no, saying it might not work. So the research was published in the MedRx IV online depository, and it evaluated data from 368 COVID-19 patients. And the study was paid for by grants from the National Institutes of Health and the University of Virginia. But it has not been peer-reviewed, meaning it's a study that has gotten out there. We have data, but there could have been something wrong with the study design. So they performed a retrospective analysis of data from patients hospitalized with confirmed SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 infection in all U.S. VA medical centers until April 11, 2020. Some 97 patients have been treated with just hydroxychloroquine. 113 were treated with hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, and 158 received standard supportive management, meaning not the hydroxychloroquine or the antibiotic. And then the two primary outcomes analyzed in the study were who died and who needed ventilatory support, who worsened and needed tubing. It's helped them breathe. They said 28% of those given the hydroxychloroquine alone, you know, plus regular usual care, died, which means 72% lived. However, that's versus 11% of those getting routine care alone. So 11% died that didn't have hydroxychloroquine, 28% died who did, meaning did it cause more to die or did it do nothing? 22% died who got the hydroxychloroquine plus the azithromycin. But they said the difference between that group and usual care was not considered large enough to rule out other factors that could have affected survival. So rather than them saying hydroxychloroquine made things worse, they said, look, it didn't help. Didn't really make a difference. Didn't make a difference for the breathing machine either. So researchers said in this study, we found no evidence that use of hydroxychloroquine, either with or without azithromycin, reduced the risk of mechanical ventilation in patients hospitalized with COVID-19. An association of increased overall mortality was identified and patients treated with hydroxychloroquine alone, meaning they saw more people die. These findings highlight the importance of awaiting the results of ongoing prospective randomized controlled studies before widespread adoption of these drugs. Now, the American public is not going to be ideally convinced because they have seen reports and have gotten, video testimonies of people who said, look, I was given hydroxychloroquine and I survived. Well, that's fantastic. I would take that as a possible treatment. If somebody said they were on death's door, they got that medication and they weren't, maybe it was prayer that got them out of it. You know, maybe it was luck of the draw. But I'm just getting the feeling that hydroxychloroquine helps for some and may not help for others. But the researchers do make a point. If you do have a study that doesn't show that it works, you have to be very careful telling people that it does. But if what Trump said was that there was some promising results and that this might work, that he's still allowed to say that, especially when we've had studies that say it can work. Now, as you know, in Brazil, they had to stop a study with chloroquine. Chloroquine is the more side effect version of hydroxychloroquine. And there were heart rhythm problems that developed in about 25% of the people given the higher of two doses being tested. So they had to stop the study, and they couldn't look at the lower dose, and they couldn't, you know, they just had to stop the study. Once, you know, people get hurt, you don't really get a lot of funding, you know, for people to continue the study. And then there was a study in France suggesting that if you do treat people with hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin combo, it could shorten the length of the virus, which means you'd be less likely to become sick and you would be, you know, more likely to get out of the hospital sooner. So, you know, where are we at with this? Well, it's still a crapshoot, unfortunately. And I think the reason why it's a crapshoot is because we are told that we have multiple strains of this virus. So, you know, if we have, let's say, I don't know, 15 strains that could be combated with hydroxychloroquine versus, you know, not, that would make sense. So the New York Post has reported that the coronavirus has already mutated into at least 30 different strains. This comes from a study out of China. And the results show that medical officials have vastly underestimated the overall ability for the virus to mutate. And they also believe that different strains have affected different parts of the world. Now, this study was carried out by Professor Li Lanwan and colleagues at the Zhejiang University in Hangzhou, China. And it was published in a non-peer-reviewed paper. Again, non-peer-reviewed. So what does peer-review mean? Peer-review means we just got published, me and some medical students, in a journal that was peer-reviewed, meaning peers, medical professionals, had to look at it and had to see if the study was done right and if it was worth publishing. And it wasn't just one. You had to have at least a couple look at it. Many need 3, 5, 10, you know, depending on the paper. So it just adds a little bit more validity to the study. So when it's a non-peer-reviewed paper, that implies that it wasn't overseen as strictly. So when a journal hires people for peer review, or they ask for volunteers or whatever, they want them to have a very critical eye on whether this is, you know, publishable, because otherwise then the journal, you know, looks like they're publishing fluff. You know, they don't want to look like they're tabloid. So, you know, there's kind of strict guidelines. Now, I'm not saying a non-peer-reviewed study means it's tabloid. It just doesn't have that extra seal of approval. So the researchers analyzed the strains from 11 randomly chosen coronavirus patients from Hangzhou, where there have been 1,200 reported cases, and then they tested how efficiently they could infect and kill cells. China's coronavirus numbers, however, have been questioned, obviously, because we don't know how, you know, where they're coming up with their death toll. So, you know, their latest numbers were, and I apologize, let me pull them up, compared to other countries, their latest numbers were all the way down here. Hold on. Oh, my gosh. Okay, sorry. 82,000 cases before 4,600 deaths. So when you have, you know, a population that's more densely populated and the epicenter of this, having less cases, less deaths than America, you start to kind of wonder if there was a reporting issue. So I apologize here, and let me get this out. So Lee's team found that some of the most aggressive strains of the virus were able to generate 270 times the viral load of the weakest strains. And the aggressive strains killed the human cells the fastest. Well, that makes sense. If, you know, you're able to have more viral load, the viral load is able to consume more cells, prevent your cells from doing what it's supposed to do. And so, unfortunately, you're more at risk of being sick. Now, this is a whack-a-mole sort of, you know, chasing a, I don't know, firefly when it comes to trying to figure out how to, you know, come up with a vaccine. If they find that these 30 different strains still have a very commonality in terms of its outer structure, outer envelope, protein spikes, they can make a vaccine. They can still move forward with the vaccine. But we are being told that the vaccine, apparently the first human testing for a vaccine, is being started at Oxford, I think tomorrow. But we are being told by Dr. Hillary Jones that the first coronavirus vaccine might not be suitable for everybody. Now, Dr. Hillary is, he says there are 80 different groups across the world trying to find a vaccine as soon as possible. It's really going to be next year rather than anything available this year, so this side of Christmas. So, handsome guy. But if a virus is made and we have 30 different strains, it might not be as effective in certain groups that got affected with other strains. 1-877-DOCTOR-DELLY. Don't go away.
Hey, everyone. everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Congress is set to vote on Thursday on a $500 billion spending bill that will give coronavirus relief to small businesses, hospitals, and local and state governments. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says we do have to start pumping the brakes, though, on considering another stimulus package.
I think it's also time to begin to think about the amount of debt that we're adding to our country and the future impact of that. But until we can begin to open up the economy, we can't spend enough money to solve the problem.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says China's government did not reveal the full extent of the initial coronavirus outbreak in a timely fashion. Pompeo telling reporters that China had a responsibility to issue a thorough and candid alert to the World Health Organization. And you're listening to USA Radio News. An earthquake strikes in Southern California, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
Parts of Southern California rattled overnight by a magnitude 3.7 earthquake that struck Los Angeles County. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake, originally reported as a magnitude 3.8, struck at about midnight Pacific time in the View Park Windsor Hills area near Inglewood, about 10 miles from downtown L.A. Although there were no immediate reports of damage or injuries, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti did tweet that the fire department had been activated to conduct its routine surveys of the city to assess any damages from the quake.
Foodborne illness outbreaks will cost Chipotle a lot of money. The fast food chain has agreed to pay $25 million for the outbreak that happened between 2015 and 2018. Chipotle's CEO says the settlement shows how seriously they take food safety. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have, like, cold toes in the wintertime, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Maybe, maybe you'll turn back to me when I tell you you're just so pretty.
All right, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So new autopsy results show that two Californians died of coronavirus in early and mid-February, up to 3 weeks before the previously known first U.S. death from the virus. Now, many of you are like, well, we think people have died even earlier than that. I do, too. We have a friend of ours that sounded like they died exactly like somebody with coronavirus back in January. But again, we weren't testing it. We didn't know much about it. Well, according to this report out of CNN, They said these deaths now stand as the country's earliest two attributed to the novel coronavirus, a development that appears to shift the understanding of how early the virus was spreading in the country. Actually, I think it was spreading earlier than that. The two deaths in Northern California's Santa Clara County happened February 6th and 17th. The previously understood first coronavirus death, they thought, was February 29th in Kirkland, Washington. The two in California had no known travel histories to China or anywhere else that would have exposed them to the virus, according to Dr. Sarah Cody, the county's chief medical officer. They are presumed to have caught the virus through community spread. Now, that's a significant finding. If they had gone to Asia, flown in February 1st, let's say, then we would say, okay, well, you know, then it wasn't in that, you know, rough neck of the woods or zip code, shall we say. They got it because they traveled. But the fact that they died of it and they were tested posthumously, I believe, fraught with coronavirus and found to have had it, yet they never traveled, it means it was around, floating around anyway, which a lot of us doctors believe it did anyway. So, they said somebody who died on February 6th, they probably contracted the virus early to mid-January because it takes at least 2 to 3 weeks from the time you contract the virus for you to die from it. If they did not contract coronavirus to travel abroad, that's also significant, according to Dr. Jha, director of Harvard Global Health Institute. So that means that there was a community spread happening in California as early as mid-January, if not earlier than that. We really need to go back, look at more cases from January, even December, and try to sort out when did we really first encounter this virus. So Santa Clara County Medical Examiner Coroner performed autopsies on two people who died in their homes February 16th and 17th and sent samples to the CDC. The CDC confirmed Tuesday that the tissue samples tested positive for coronavirus. So if any samples were taken of anybody who had died, all right, not so much samples for coronavirus, but other samples for other reasons, they might be able to go and test them for coronavirus. They say a third death happened in early March, also confirmed to be virus-related. They said at the time of the death, the county said testing for the virus was very limited, generally restricted only to people with a known travel history and seeking treatment for certain symptoms. So further details of the victims not provided. So what does that mean for you or I? Well, what that then... is going to beg to ask is what was the death rate of quote-unquote flu-related deaths in November, December, January? And people that didn't test positive for the flu. We should be able to get some of those numbers. And then we should be able to surmise how deadly this was. A big growing theory we have with coronavirus is that it doesn't kill more than flu. And if we were going to do a scientific study with coronavirus and all that, we kind of messed up the scientific study by doing the lockdown. We didn't mess up, you know, what we should have done to prevent spread of the disease, but we kind of screwed up the study. Because what we did is we put in a whole new variable. And so we're never going to know how many people would have died. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So doctors are trying to figure out if we have a new sort of complication with coronavirus. Dr. Catherine Hibbert's COVID-19 patient in the ICU is not doing well. His blood pressure plummeted. She tried to put an IV line into an artery in his wrist, but a blood clot clogged the tubing. So Dr. Hibbert tried again with a new needle. A blood clot clogged up that line as well. It took 3 tries to insert the IV. So she said, you just watch it clot right in front of you. It's rare to have that happen once, extremely rare to have that happen twice. So Dr. Hibbert and other doctors are finding that some patients infected with the novel coronavirus have a propensity towards developing blood clots, which can be life-threatening, if the clot travels to the heart or lungs. The number of clotting problems they're seeing in the ICU is unprecedented. They say blood clotting problems appear to be widespread in severe COVID. Dr. Lawrence, who is a hematologist at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City, and his colleagues looked at autopsies on two patients and found blood clots in the lungs and just beneath the surface of the skin. According to a study published last week, they also found blood clots beneath the skin surface on three living patients. Now, in the Netherlands, a study found remarkably high rates of clotting among COVID patients. An international consortium of experts from more than 30 hospitals gathered to consider this issue. They don't know why, but they think blood clots are an issue. They said this is one of the most talked about questions in COVID right now. So they start to put all COVID patients on low doses of blood thinners to prevent the clots. Not all hospitals have taken that step, and they're concerned. And again, it's, you know, when someone's on a ventilator and they have high pressures and the pressure might put a little too much pressure on the lungs, they could bleed. You got to be very, very careful with blood thinners. But then again, if somebody is more prone to making clots, they could die from that. So blood clots clog up vessels. And when they clog up vessels, you don't get good blood flow or good return. So a blood clot can cause something like a pulmonary embolism, where blood can't get to the lungs to oxygenate, and then, you know, you being hypoxic, not having enough oxygen. Now, this is interesting. Piggybacking off of that, we have a report that patients' oxygen levels fall dangerously low, but they don't have shortness of breath. Well, you could see that with blood clots sometimes. Now, most blood clots or pulmonary embolism, you will have trouble breathing. But if people are having many blood clots that's preventing oxygenation, we might see them lose oxygen without having shortness of breath. Now, what would that feel like? If any of you guys are struggling with coronavirus now and you're listening to my show, you're like, okay, well, how do I know if my oxygen level's low? Well, sometimes you could be tired. Sometimes you could be dizzy. Sometimes you could just feel blah. I'm getting people call in saying, I feel like crap, except they don't say that. They say a bad word. And I don't want to diagnose everybody with coronavirus because there's obviously tons of other medical issues out there. But it does kind of make you wonder how, you know, how many people out there are having the non-typical coronavirus symptoms. I had a patient yesterday that had a sore throat, was fatigued, and had some diarrhea. Now, people get sore throats, people get diarrhea, it happens. But I told her that it could also be coronavirus. And she was like, no, because I don't have a fever. If I don't have a fever, I don't have coronavirus. No, you don't understand. All those symptoms that we're talking about were either or. If you had a cough and nothing else, it could still be coronavirus. If you had trouble breathing, nothing else could be coronavirus. If you had loss of sense or smell with no other symptoms, it could be coronavirus. You don't have to have the fever and the cough and the shortness of breath and the diarrhea and the eye issues. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to have that. So Dr. Richard Levitan, an emergency medicine practitioner at Bellevue Hospital, or an ER doc, have been teaching other medical professionals about how to intubate and use ventilators for the last couple weeks. But he saw an interesting phenomenon in some of these COVID patients. He was seeing patients whose lungs were filled with fluid or pus, but they weren't struggling to breathe until the day they arrived at the hospital. Well, they should have then had symptoms before that. So they think that the lack of oxygen, this could also explain why the death rate is higher, because people may not be going to the hospital in time. They might be going and waiting because they don't feel that sick. 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology. rheumatology right now, it's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Hey, guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So we just finished talking about how many doctors are noticing that people with coronavirus are blood clotting more. And in fact, I think some doctors in the Netherlands are suggesting that all patients be on some sort of blood thinners. I'll leave that for American doctors to decide because, again, you know, there could be some, you know, tissue damage with, you know, ventilatory pressure and things like that. And so blood thinners can cause, you know, problems in and of themselves. But if people are more prone to clots, you know, blood thinners might be important, especially with the other piece of news we talked about, how many people are fatigued or hypoxic, losing oxygen before they feel shortness of breath. And so ER docs in New York were noticing that people were having pus and fluid buildup in the lungs but weren't short of breath. And then they show up at the hospital when they are feeling shortness of breath, yet they could have had these symptoms for a long time, meaning they would have made it to the hospital sooner if they had had, you know, those symptoms, which could explain why the death rate might have been higher. So talking about that now brings a new question, okay? So the question of the lockdown and the concept of the lockdown has been debated. The majority of Americans agree that a form of lockdown needed to be done. I think you have a lot of people concerned about the virus, scared of the virus. They're looking at the death rates. So I think you had a lot of support for some sort of a shutdown. How the shutdown was done, how severe it was, what happened with the economy is another debate. But many people will probably say the lockdown for the virus fight was good. Well, we're starting to get some hints that the lockdown might have really messed things up in terms of us studying the virus. Now, how? How could the lockdown have been bad? Well, okay, whenever you do a scientific experiment, you have like a control, you have maybe a constant, and then like you'll add the variable, and you'll see what happens with the variable. Just like with this hydroxychloroquine study. You have people with coronavirus, you give people hydroxychloroquine, and Azithromax, and then you see the differences. And, you know, it turned out these people died less than these with hydroxychloroquine and Azithromax, so they decide that, you know, in that one study with the VA, that maybe hydroxychloroquine might not work. That's what happened with that study. But you see how you introduce variables. So when we look at how in California, they think in February, it might have been circulating because we had two people who died that didn't travel to China. And we go, okay, look, this virus might have been circulating as long as the flu. You need then a constant. So the constant would pretty much be, okay, everybody's kind of doing what they usually do. A variable is, let's see what the lockdown does. Putting people in lockdown, let's see what happened to flu numbers. Let's see what happened to coronavirus numbers. Well, we don't really know what happened to coronavirus numbers because that variable was introduced too soon. I've screwed up so many science experiments. I remember I fell on a whole bunch of samples, and they went all over the UNLV lab, and the doctor was like so mad at me. He wasn't even my professor. Actually, it was. I don't even think I passed the class. So, I mean, I've messed up a lot of scientific experiments, but the lockdown, I'm not saying was bad to, you know, diminish deaths, but the lockdown possibly screwed up us studying the virus. Because one question people have, okay, is of the 60,000 flu-related deaths on average, how many flu-related deaths have we had? Well, I don't think we're going to get an accurate number. Because people were home. People were home. They didn't go and get the flu swab. So we're not going to have an accurate number on that. Same thing with coronavirus cases. People stayed home, so they called telemedicine. Or they just said, you know what, I feel tired, I have a cough, I'm going to just live with it. People didn't go in and get seen. People didn't get tested. They stayed home. So you lose out on those numbers. People with the lockdown, like we talked about, if they did have, you know, some coughing or some shortness of breath, they were told, oh, that might be coronavirus. Whereas I'm thinking, well, that could be still pneumonia. It could still be a heart attack. But the lockdown basically monkey wrenched data that we could have had. Now, I'm not saying I'm against the lockdown. I'm just saying if you're frustrated that we don't have all the information we need to on coronavirus yet, part of to blame is because people were locked down. People stayed home. They didn't talk to doctors. They weren't able to get tested. They weren't able to convey some of their symptoms. I mean, maybe after the fact we could survey them, but we can't go back and test for flu. We might not be able to go back and test for coronavirus. So whenever you do a scientific study, you got to be very, very careful on when you throw in the variables. So now in California, they're trying to figure out if this virus had been around just like flu was. We're being told that coronavirus is going to come back stronger than flu. Well, how strong was our flu season? We need to know that. We don't have that data. How many of these deaths we've had in America, these 43,000 or 46,000 deaths, how many of them were the flu-related deaths that we usually get with peak? Remember, 60,000 people on average die of flu. A couple years ago, it was 80,000. I think last year might have been 40,000. I forget. But, we've had 46,000 coronavirus-related deaths. We peak with flu January and February. All right. So how many flu deaths did we have? Are we assuming zero? I mean, the CDC is going to have a number. People were tested for flu, and I'm sure hospitals were testing for it. But the lockdown shunted people away from going to a doctor's office. Doctor's office is closed. And it led people to telemedicine. And I love telemedicine. I'm on telemedicine. I've been seeing 30, 40 patients a day on a slow day. And I'm not testing people for flu. I'm not testing people for coronavirus. So all we're saying is, I don't know, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I mean, I've seen people that I think had pneumonia. And I'm like, look, you got to go in. I think this is a bacterial pneumonia. I have no idea if this is coronavirus or not. I've seen people who have been tired. I diagnosed mono the other day. Not because I did a mono spot blood test. Not because, you know, I'm a super good doctor. It's because somebody called in saying they're just so fatigued. So I said, this could be coronavirus. Oh, no, I don't want to go get tested. Okay, but you know what? It could be mono. And you need to know if you have mono because your spleen might be enlarged. You got to go in and get tested. I don't want to leave the house. I go, you're very, very fatigued. And looking at the study here where sometimes people don't feel the shortness of breath, your fatigue or dizziness might be a sign of coronavirus if you're hypoxic. I guess the growing theory is that this coronavirus makes this glue type stuff that clogs the lungs so you're not able to exchange gases like oxygen, carbon dioxide, etc. And so I'm like, look, okay, you know, it could be thyroid, could be coronavirus, but it might be mono. Patient felt a lot better going to get a mono test, but at least I got them to go and get tested. So we're not testing people. We haven't for months been testing people for flu. I mean, telemedicine, again, I love telemedicine, but once telemedicine, you know, opened up and just exploded in popularity, people got their Tamiflu over the phone. So how many of those people never had flu? They could have had coronavirus this whole time. So the lockdown was one of the variables that kind of messed up. You know, I don't know if you've ever messed up a scientist's work. But they say something that I'm not allowed to say on air. But they say basically, don't blank my stuff up. And yeah, scientists will talk like that. You know, because I've messed up their work. I've gone into the EPA lab, and they're like, can you please not mess my blank up? Yep, okay. Actually, yeah, there's a second bad word. There's two bad words in that saying. Don't mess my blank up. And so there's a lot of scientists that kind of, you know, can't answer a lot of our questions because of the lockdown. The lockdown might have done great things, but if you're frustrated why we don't have a lot of the information, that's one of the reasons. 1-877-DOCTALI, 1-877-DOCTALI.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.